2.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich on The Roar.
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
After 35 long years, something I've been waiting 35 years, it's finally coming home, baby! It's coming home!
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
I think it creates a lot of excitement and a lot of fun stuff to write about and a lot of good. I mean, dang, what would Quack and Kelly talk about on the radio? They'd have nothing to talk about.
Now, Quack and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We're live on The Roar on a Wednesday, May the 20th, 2020. We appreciate you joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're live in a Priority One security studios emanating across the fruited plain and around globe via WCCPFM.com, The Roar.radio, The Roar mobile app, 105.5 FM in the upstate, 97.5 FM in Spartanburg, 1560 AM in the Cowpens area. We welcome you as well today. Kelly, how you doing?
Quack, I am doing quite splendidly. Let's have a great show today, my friend. And we have Hump Day headlines. I've got some good ones. And I would argue the best Florida man of the Roaring Teen.
Really?
The best Florida man we've had in a minute.
I was going to say, because we had a couple classics.
Yeah.
You know, like months ago, like way before
all this
started.
Let's be honest. There's been a good amount of Florida men that have given us some insensitive and kind of negative COVID stories. So just like spitting on people and stuff. I don't want to share those. Those aren't great. That's not good. But this Florida man story, it was a harmless prank gone wrong. That's all I'll tell you. It's so fun.
Kelly, I need to address this right off the bat. This might actually be a pretty good like intro segment into the show because we do have quite a bit to discuss today. Obviously, the Barrett Carter commitment is a big deal for Clemson. We have some news from South Carolina. We have all the Hump Day headlines. We have some quarterback conversation to get into. Just a lot of stuff. But I need to address what this day is, Kelly. This is, I believe, I've tried to think in my head. I've tried to think in my head of ways that this statement could be wrong. I don't think it's necessarily true. I believe that today is the 10-year anniversary of the single most crushing defeat I have ever witnessed a team experience in person at a sporting event. 10 years ago today.
I believe I know what you're referencing.
May 20th, 2010, Brooks Conrad put a ball 0.2 inches over Lance Nix's outstretched glove. Francisco Cordero got shouted down by me and everybody else. And the Quackenbushes and Brandon Phillips family watched the Reds blow a 6-run lead in Atlanta in front of literally no Braves fans. All the Braves fans left. It was like 4 people outside the stadium laughing at us as we walked out. It was the worst. It was the worst day of my sporting life. That includes Kelly.
The worst?
I had to think. Yeah. Oh yeah. My sporting fan life is the worst because that was a walk of shame when you like I'd never seen a team blow it that bad.
But Quark, it was a regular season game.
Doesn't matter. I was in person. You go to one game a year, Kelly.
What?
One game a year.
That was worse than any Clemson loss you've experienced.
Oh yeah, because I got all of them.
That's ridiculous.
Well, listen.
It's a regular season game. You play 182 of them.
Or you played 162.
162.
It was the worst.
Sorry, I lose track. There's so many.
Here's why, though, Kelly. Let's say I'm at a Clemson game, which I have never attended a Clemson game as a fan. That's not entirely true. I'll give you some others that rival it, okay? And I want you to be thinking about your worst, okay? When you watch Clemson lose at home, you are with like-minded people.
Right.
There's a different mentality when you go into an arena and you or a stadium and you are with everybody. Whatever happens there, everybody's feeling it. I would argue that there is no greater triumph and no worse defeat than being a visiting team, a fan of a visiting team, particularly in a high-stakes game, or particularly given some, you know, if there are other circumstances. Like, for instance, you live around Braves fans all the time. And so you're going to have to hear about that game, even though they probably didn't watch it anyway because they all turned it off, like everybody else. That was very bad. I watched the Pacers playoff game one time in Atlanta against the Hawks where Roy Hibbert had 0 points and zero rebounds and actually was in foul trouble by the time we got through the longest security line in all of history. There was no airport line on September 30th, 2001, longer than the line to get into the arena in Atlanta that night. By the time we got in there, Roy Hibbert already had two fouls and was already out of the game and, again, had zero and zero. And the Hawks beat the Pacers. That was the year they were the 8th seed. And the Pacers didn't win the series, but that was real bad. I have watched the T.A. McClendon Thursday night game where NC State beat Clemson by about 50 points. I watched that one in person. That was pretty bad because that was also late and a school night. Like, I had to go home, and then we had to get them to go to school and work the next day. That was pretty bad. I really can't think of any other ones that I just was that crushed by the way of the result.
I get what you're saying. I think if you are in an opposing team stadium and you lose, especially in an embarrassing fashion where you blew the lead, that can be a problem. Even though you did say that all the Braves fans had left. So who was heckling?
They had left. Well, that also made it worse because I knew that I was going to be taunted for it by fans of the team that, like, they quit on their team in the game. It would be like being taunted by the fans as you left the arena with all the Heat fans that fought. Remember all the Heat
yes.
fans filed out and tried to run back in? And you were leaving the arena and all the fans that had left laughed at you on the way out. It's that kind of shame. That's a different level of shame where people who already were ashamed of themselves got to laugh at you on the way out.
I do have some thoughts on this topic. I think it's a great topic. I want to share this, though, quickly, that Grace Rayner just tweeted that Clemson is having a special Board of Trustees meeting right now to talk COVID-19. So we will keep you posted on what we hear from that on Twitter and from other sources. So stay tuned. There could be some big developments coming out today. And if we're lucky, we'll get them on Out of Bounds.
That's right. And Will Vandenborre is going to join us at 2:05.
Yes.
He
yes.
is clued into this as well. And we've got a bunch of coronavirus-related stuff to talk to him about. The only Clemson game that I think would approach this, the only one in my memory that was that, it was a different level of crushing, but it was crushing nonetheless that I was there in person. And not as a... this one, actually, I was working, but it wasn't the same, was 2008 Georgia Dome, preseason top 10, Alabama, barely preseason top 25, and they just absolutely destroyed Clemson. It was mm-hmm. the beginning of the end for Tommy Bowden, and the beginning of the beginning for Dabo Swinney in many respects. That was a horrible night because, again, as an employee... You should not, I mean, I'm very clearly working a game. I have a press pass on. I'm very clearly working a game. I got heckled so badly just trying to do my job in the Georgia Dome by Alabama fans that I'm pretty sure I never quite recovered. Even 2016, I don't think put it all back together.
So I would say I have a few unique ones. And most of mine are home games because when I was a student, we didn't go to road games because we had practice. I mean, there was no going to road games, right?
Right.
And then I would say of the road games I've been to recently as a young alum, Clemson has not lost. So it's been a little bit tough to think of a road game. The one road game that stands out that I was at that Clemson lost was the Georgia game in 2014. And we were riding high a little bit, right? I think Clemson fans in general, that was the Was that the very first game of the year? I believe it was. And you just won the Orange Bowl,
yeah.
Right? You just beat Ohio State. I know Taj and Sammy and all those guys were gone, but you were still riding high. You had beaten Georgia the year before. And so you show up in Georgia, maybe not expecting to win. I mean, nothing like you would expect now as a Clemson fan. But you show up expecting to have a good show, right? And that game was just, it was a real downer in many respects. I know Deshaun threw his first touchdown pass to Sherron Peak and threaded the needle, and it was great. But it was just a real downer in every other way. And so I remember leaving, not even just leaving, heading into the stadium, leaving the stadium, in the stadium, being yelled at, barked at, made fun of, all those things by Georgia fans. So that's one that stands out. It wasn't that embarrassing of a loss, because losing to Georgia is not necessarily embarrassing. And everyone knew that Clemson was rebuilding. So that one stands out as a road game. But the loss that hurt the most that I was at, because I wasn't at the first national championship. I was at the second one, the first national championship game. I was at the second one, so 2016. So that first one hurt, but I wasn't there. It's Florida State at home in 2013. That game, for sure, and a texter just got in with that one. There were a lot of Florida State fans there, and so I still remember being made fun of and heckled for that game. I was on the hill. I was so sad. It was just, you know, it was at the point where it was, I think, halfway through the fourth quarter, and I was just like, can we go, please? This is awful. I don't want to stay. And there was just so much hype around that game. It was a top five matchup. Clemson was trying to break the noise record, right? I remember that being a thing going into the game. And you just got destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And it was a big fat message of you're not there yet kind of thing. So that one stands out. I also, the Pittsburgh loss at home was heartbreaking, because at the time you thought that was it. Now things went your way and everything worked out.
Literally from that one, people were still sitting in traffic when you were back in the top four.
No, I know, but I just remember...
that was such a quick turnaround.
It vividly. I was sitting with my dear friend Kendall and her parents. And, of course, you know how every good football mom has hand warmers and gloves and blankets and everything at the tailgate ready to go. So she handed us all these blankets. And I had this random yellow blanket, which was actually a pit color, weirdly enough. And it was really cold, so I was draped in this blanket. And I remember the field goal went in, and I just put the blanket over my head and just had nothing to say. That was brutal, Kwok. I know everything was fine 30 minutes later, an hour later. But in the moment, you're just thinking, how on earth did we let this happen? So those are the ones that stand out.
I mean, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough.
Oh, it was tough.
You mentioned the Georgia game in 14. There were a couple of collective ones where I was actually on the home side of these games that were just... I mean, just rip your heart out and stomp on it until it's in little pieces. Probably the worst experience is harsh, because it was a home game and the precursor was pretty good. Like, I remember the crowd was real good. 2003 Georgia, I believe, 02, one of those years where it was a noon game. It was about 126 degrees outside. I was sitting right next to the drunkest fan over 60 I've ever seen, and who was barking. And actually, I'll say, chanting opposite of what he was supposed to be chanting. That was real annoying, because Georgia Bulldogs, it would have sounded cool if not for the one guy who was just off. So that added to the annoying part of it. That was like 30-0. That was pretty horrible to start off a season, like you talked about. The other one, this is one I was working. This is my freshman year. I was working in the press box. Couldn't move afterwards. Had no idea what had just happened. Very similar to no idea what just happened at that Braves game. Boston College, 07. When Matt Ryan, basically pulled a win out from between his butt cheeks. I've never seen anything quite like that, where the game was totally in hand and Aaron Kelly almost caught the pass afterward anyway, but I've never seen anybody just pull a game out from nowhere like Matt Ryan did.
Where did he pull it out from, Kwok?
From between his butt cheeks. It was legitimately,
that is a crazy way to articulate that.
That is
only
actually
you.
Where it came from.
Only
654 Roar, if you agree, that is the best way to describe what happened with Matt Ryan that day. I can promise you that. That's it. That's what he did. Will says on Twitter, at 1055, there were any Georgia Tech game in Atlanta. I do remember one time I went with, you know, my grandpa's a Georgia Tech grad. There are a couple of these Georgia Tech games.
He's one of the good ones.
We sat at the very top of the Clemson section. The score was 10 to 6 or something like that. Like 06 or 05. What, one of those. 05 maybe. And the only Clemson touchdown was called back. I'm sure Thomas Austin was called for a fake penalty, which is what happened like 9 straight games against Georgia Tech. Thomas Austin was called for holding in the biggest play of the game. And never, ever did he hold against Georgia Tech either. They were all phantom calls. There was one touchdown the whole game or something like that. That was pretty brutal. There was another one where I want to say Wynn Kopp was the punter. This is like early 2000s when Clemson and Georgia Tech were actually rivals. Like, Florida State beat Clemson every year, but Clemson and Georgia Tech were actually rivals around that, like, one or both of them were going to be ranked most of the time. And I remember Clemson had a game in hand. There were, like, 3 minutes left, and all they had to do was punt the ball away. I think the punt snap was bad, or there was a fumble or something like that. Georgia Tech blocks the punt and ends up scoring a touchdown and then wins at the horn in the corner of the end zone, one of, like, 11 catches in the corner of the end zone that Georgia Tech receivers made. Kerry Watkins or Kelly Campbell or Calvin Johnson or somebody was always making a corner catch. And I think that was the first one where they, with like 3 minutes left, Clemson's up 2 scores and just needs to punt the ball away and can't get it done. And then they lose the game. That might have been 2000, Kelly, because that after that was the game at Florida State with the greatest play action fake of all time where Snoop Minnis scored a 99-yard touchdown. And then Florida State won 612-7 in Tallahassee against Clemson in 2000.
We've got a lot of texts on this, Kwok. We've got some calls. So looking forward to sharing heartbreak with you guys over the next few segments or so.
Yes. I thought we could just band together.
Kwok, I stand by. I think it's ridiculous to have a regular season May baseball game as your most heartbreaking loss. I get that you experienced it and you get to decide for yourself, but I still think that's ridiculous.
I'll be honest.
It didn't matter.
Here's how bad it is. There is not one single game where, without bringing it up, Kelly, multiple people will tweet at me with the highlight of the game. That's how big a deal that is. Not one postseason game will people taunt me by tweeting me the highlights of the game. That's how bad it is. It's bad when you have to be ridiculed for the rest of your life because you were there.
Who ridicules you for that still?
Go on Twitter. My sister-in-law did it today. Okay. I'll tell you that one.
And I saw her tweet that. That's what got you going today.
Yesterday, I had the thought,
right.
Oh, no, tomorrow's the 10-year anniversary.
Maybe
I need to get out ahead of this. And I thought, you know what? No, somebody will do it. Somebody will tag me. I don't have to do this. Just wait. And it was like 9:30.
I hear you, Kwok. I think I've decided that Florida State game at home is the worst one for me, mainly because Jameis was also involved. So it made it worse.
I was in the press box.
Because that guy's the worst.
And so maybe I was just immune to some of the effects of
that.
I mean, it was bad.
I was on the hill. It was a different experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a different experience.
Stay with us. We're going to go to the phones. We got Robbie. We got Brennan up with us next. More to come out of bounds next.
The drive-thru is open because no matter what's going on in the world, we all got to eat. Feed the whole family with the big Bow Box for just $19.99. Bojangles, it's Bow time.
Samantha Porter, environmental educator, ready to encourage you. Pizza boxes, shipping and packaging boxes, appliance boxes are all examples of cardboard that is easy to recycle. Did you know that every school in Anderson County recycles their cardboard? And you can too. Did you know that cardboard generates the most recycling dollars, which allows our convenience centers to remain open and free to our residents? Anderson County Solid Waste is here to serve and help. 260-1001.
Your Pie Clemson is happy to announce in-store dining is open from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. daily. You can also dine on the patio or order to go for quick and easy pickup. Their staff has implemented extra precautions to make sure your dining experience is as health conscious and delicious as possible. Don't forget to download the Your Pie app for easy ordering and quick pickup when you're in a rush. Your Pie, 111 Earl Street, downtown Clemson, and online at yourpie.com/Clemson. It's fresh, just the way you like it. We'll see you soon at Your Pie Clemson.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
At Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, four lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, we're throwing in four Samsung Galaxy phones on us. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com. Call 800-SPRINT-1 or come see us in our stores. Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after $731.21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
The flagship station for Clemson basketball. You're listening to The Roar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the
Hour good. One continues out of bounds. William Quagamish, Kelly Gramlich. It is the 20th of May, a Wednesday in the year 2020, the year of our Lord 2020. And it is a day of great sorrow for me just because of because I knew that like somebody would point out what day it was.
Really, I know it's truly a tough day for you, Quack, but it's also just a good day to be alive, even though we've got a monsoon going, whatever.
That's
Can
fine.
You believe it's already May 20th?
I can't. May, I'm
it's
telling
crazy.
You, March crawled.
April flew.
Yes.
May has flown.
Oh, man.
April distance
crazy.
Brings May existence. Here we
right.
go.
I will say this. One way to ease the pain of this 10-9 Brooks Conrad lit. God, Brooks Conrad,
oh
that
my
name.
Gosh.
Like, there, legitimately, there is an internal revulsion to those words in my body. My physical body jolts, like, in not a good way when I say those words. His grand slam in the ninth. There. It is eased a bit by the fact that the OO Braves, Kelly, are on a 6-game win streak.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
and
exciting.
After, you know what? I was on the hot seat a little bit. 3 games under .500, on the hot seat, not doing a great job. Acuna really, really struggling. And now he looks more like someone who could potentially be the face of the franchise one day. His average is up over .230, Kelly. That's big compared to where it was. And they've won 6 in a row. So we'll get back at that this afternoon. Just want to throw that out there that Braves fans, I'm not hiding fully. We're still going to do that today. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines. Robbie is up with us next on the phone. What's up, Robbie?
Not much, Quark. So I've got a good one for you. My mom and dad, we used to get in the car, go to the away games and stuff like that. So my wife and I are piling the car. We're going up to the Wake Forest game, the infamous Last Bowden game.
Ooh.
We go up there. We go up, there were flags on the car, magnets on the car, decked out in our Clemson gear. I think my dad left at halftime. He was so mad. We trek back out to the car, and he's like, I thought I was going to get a death wish if I put a magnet or a flag on the car at that point. So from that day forward, so that very game, my wife and I have not put a magnet or a flag back on our car yet. Last season, I can't remember what game it was, my nephew was riding to the game with us, and he goes into my garage, and the magnets are like on the hot water heater now that we used to put on the car. And he's excited. He's a 13-year-old kid excited about going to the game with his aunt and uncle. He goes to put the magnets on the car, and my wife looks at him and goes, Reed, you know the rules. No magnets or flags on the car.
We wow.
still don't have magnets.
So we two national titles later, and you still won't put magnets or flags on the car?
Well, we have another one, Kelly, where we lost to Duke, up at Duke.
Mm.
Like, I think it was maybe the season before or two seasons before, and we were with a bunch of our friends, and we fried a turkey. We haven't fried a turkey to tailgate since last night.
Look, we appreciate your service, because it appears these things have worked.
Yes.
You've done a good job.
I mean, it's one of those superstitions around my house. It's like, over the past five seasons, it's the same shirt, the same shorts. They're all washed. The same outfit every game. Down at Tampa for the national championship game, I was in shorts and a polo shirt at that game. If y'all remember how cold that game
yes,
was.
Yes, it was.
About to freeze to death in the stands, but I was still wearing the same outfit I'd worn to every game. I almost burned it after the Pittsburgh game, but yeah, that was Bowden's last game. I think that might have been one of the last road games that my dad went to, other than the West Virginia thrashing down in the Orange Bowl where they didn't have enough beer in the stadium to make up that last.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I forgot about that one. That was
the West Virginia game.
That was really bad. Robbie, we appreciate it. That's a great story.
Cool, dude.
That's exactly what we're looking for. Thanks very much. You too. That's exactly what we're looking for
right
there.
That's so good. Maybe after a third natty, Robbie can fry a turkey again. Maybe.
You know what? I think at some point the statute of limitations runs out.
I would think so, yeah.
I'm okay with them being cautious, though. Always cautious.
We appreciate his service.
Texters or the tweeters are pointing out, actually in response to your tweet I saw, that it was the 2004 Georgia Tech game that I'm referring to. There were heartbreaking defeats, I believe, in 2000 and 2002. I might be wrong about that. I think both of those. But in 04, it was 1:54 left. Reggie Ball throws a touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
They get the ball back because they use their timeouts. And they throw another one with 16 seconds left. All they have to, it's 24-14. They score. Clemson, again, they use timeouts. All Clemson has to do is get the punt away. They can't do it. It was, who was the punt? I just looked it up, who the punter was in that game.
No need to clown that poor punter.
It was Cole Chase, and I really don't think it was his fault, but that was who the punter was. And so they got the ball one play, 10 yards, Calvin Johnson, core of the end zone, touchdown, and then it went in 28-24. That was a game I was afraid. It was 0-4, but it was in a series of defeats to the likes of Kelly Campbell and Kerry Watkins and George Godsey and Reggie Ball, and that was a bad time.
Texter says, Kwok, you're combining 2000 and 04. 2000 was the Kerry Watkins catch. 04 was the botch punt and the Calvin Johnson touchdowns. But Clemson won in 02 in a monsoon. Ed gets in on the text line, Kwok, and says, I left the Georgia Tech game up 24-14. Didn't find out we lost till I got in the car.
Yep.
Probably trying to beat Atlanta traffic and whatnot. Oh, no, that's brutal.
It was bad.
And Texas is talking about how terrible that snap was.
I feel like it bounced twice to him. It was away from me. It was toward the hill, so it was away from me. It was very far away, but it seemed like it just just rolled over there.
I know the 2013 loss, which is mine, is probably more of a millennial choice, but texters are getting in about how much they all hate Jameis, so appreciate that, guys, with y'all for sure. This text hit me hard. I don't know why, and it's a very simple text. Oh, it was Clemson 04. Sorry, not Atlanta traffic. I was trying to give Ed a pass as to why he left early. I'm not sure why he left early, though, at 24-14. Game's not done at 24-14.
Right. I mean, Georgia Tech did have the ball. They went down and scored. But you're thinking they got to score twice. There's 2 minutes left. They got to score twice. I mean, the win. If we did win probability there, you're probably looking at single digits.
Sure. I was just trying to give Ed a break.
Sure.
This is a text from the 864. It's a very simple text. It just says this. I drove 30 hours to Arizona to watch Alabama beat us.
That's rough.
That's tough.
That's rough.
I know it was a national championship. It was still a great game. And, of course, it makes it easier that you won the next year. But in the moment, especially when you're driving back and you're thinking, will we ever get back there again? That is brutal.
There were two other ones that aren't football related before we get back to the Northern Communication Volunteer. One was 2000, golly, was it freshman year? 2008, North Carolina. When did North Carolina win the national championship, Kelly? 08 or 09?
09.
What year was that? Okay. Then it was 09, the Wayne Ellington overtime game in Little John. That thing was packed to the gills. People came back. I remember this because my friends did it. We didn't start back to class until Wednesday. People came back from Christmas break specifically to get tickets and go watch that game and then just chilled on campus for 2 days, which really, I mean, I guess it happens some now, but that's something that was a little bit unheard of, but that's how important that game was and how much of a chance we thought we had. And then Wayne Ellington scored about 112 points in the last 3 minutes and made the big three to tie, sent it to overtime, and then made a dagger shot at the end as well. That's one. And then the other one, and I shouldn't even bring this up because this is just such a bad memory for like every single Clemson fan listening. The back-to-back losses to South Carolina in Omaha in 2010. That was a major, major
yikes.
Gut punch. Major. I know I had friends. I was there the whole time. We were there for a week and a half. So I saw the wins and the lightning storm and the comeback and win the game and you got to win one more and you're going to the and all that stuff. And I had buddies of mine who were like, I'm getting on a plane. We're flying out for the weekend to watch us beat South Carolina. I had so many people that told me that. We're going to fly out. We weren't going to go because they didn't think we were going to win. But now we're going to go because we're going to do it. We're going to beat South Carolina. And they came just to watch South Carolina win twice. Absolute gut punch. I would have absolutely hated that. At least I got to see a couple wins out of it. That was a fun experience going to Omaha.
Quack, I think it's pretty telling that my tweet's been up for 10 minutes and we have 20 responses of people talking about terrible losses.
Brutal. And a lot of them Clemson relate. You don't, Kelly, listen, you don't have to think hard. If you've been a Clemson fan for 30 years like I have, you really don't have to think hard. There have been way more crushing defeats than like super exciting victories. I'm serious about that. Probably 3-1. Like crushing, I can't feel myself. I feel like my soul's left my body type defeats. Then like I feel like I've risen to the heavens type wins. There have been like 5 of those. Let's go to Brennan, who's up with us next. 654 roars the number. What's up, Brennan?
Hey, man. That Wayne Ellington shot, we actually came back a week in advance because we wanted to make sure we got good seats.
Boom.
But we were camping out by ourselves for like 4 days, and then people started showing up, I believe.
That's right.
I got two for you. One, the 13 Florida State, my little brother was a freshman. I'd been graduated for 2 years, but my little brother was a freshman. And a cop ran over his foot while he was in line to get to the heel. So I spent the first half of that game in the infirmary in Death Valley. And then an ambulance took him to the hospital. But, I mean, I had been tailgating. I couldn't drive. So I just said, screw it. Went downtown with a bottle of tequila. And that night was kind of done from there. So that was definitely my worst Death Valley experience. And then the third, I think this was 12. It might have been the year before, actually. My wife, undergrad at Clemson, she went to did her master's at Florida State and then came back and got her doctorate at Clemson. But she was in school at Florida State, so she got us tickets in the Florida State faculty section, actually. And we were up, I think, at halftime in that game, and then they came back and beat us, you know, by like 2 touchdowns, I believe.
Yes.
If I'm thinking of the right year. Yep. So about halfway through, and this is faculty now, they started throwing, we were only orange in the area, they started throwing stuff at us, right? So we were like, all right, we'll watch the game here. We went and stood in like one of the breezeways between the inside of the stadium and the outside, you know, the seating area of Doak, just so we wouldn't get stuff thrown at us.
How about
that? We were
that?
Watching the game, you know, like halfway. Yeah, we were watching the game halfway through the fourth quarter. A local Tallahassee policeman comes up to us and tells us we cannot stand there. We were like, you know, can we just watch it? We're getting stuff thrown at us. The policeman pushes my wife against the stadium and just, like, completely shot. It was everything I could do not to hit this policeman. You got to imagine, you know, somebody a little getting pushed for no reason at all. And I like, very calmly got my stuff together, and I was like, I need your badge number, man. That was assault. There was no reason for that. The policeman that was with him grabs me, turns me around, starts to arrest me, and I was like, we can go downtown. I mean, when we get there, I'm calling the state police and telling them exactly what happened, you know, and we can have this if that's the way you want to do it, but I don't think you're going to come out of this with your badge. And he lets me go, the other policeman lets my wife go, and just says, y'all get out of here now or we're going to take you to jail. And so obviously
that?
I didn't want to go through it. Yeah, worst experience of my life.
That is bonkers. That was, you know, we forget that 2012 season. Clemson lost twice the whole year, and one was that Florida State game, 49-37, I think, when, that was Brent Venables' first defense. They got exposed big time in the second half of that one. I remember that distinctly because Chad Morris dialed them up. That was a game where Chad was dialing them up. And then South Carolina at the end, but the fourth and 16 Peach Bowl was at the end of that. Brennan, we appreciate it. Very good stuff. We appreciate the I'm not glad it happened to you, but we appreciate you sharing. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. You know what? That's crazy.
That is a crazy story.
I didn't think we'd get any stories like that.
Well, the show is young, Kwok, because we have so many texts that we've got to talk about. Billy Anderson says we all suffer from PTBSD, post-Tommy Bowden stress disorder, from heartbreaking losses. It's taken one of the best decades in college football history to recover. I think that's pretty true.
Yes. It's either the heartbreaking ones or just when you got your, when you just got your face bashed in. One of the other.
I might have to find that at the break, but people are bringing up the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, the 41-0 loss to Syracuse.
Ooh.
Okay, here it is.
Mm-mm.
Texter from the 803, Syracuse in the Gator Bowl. My sister-in-law threw up in the car. She was pregnant. We sat in the rain, got our brains beat in. We drove back that night. We were so mad.
Oh, no.
We have another text from Ben Milstead, one of our former interns, William and his dad. They drove down to the West Virginia game, the Orange Bowl. After that game, they were so mad. They had a hotel room, but they said forget it, and they drove all the way back because they were so mad.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I can relate to that feeling. They weren't alone with that feeling.
No.
The Gator Bowl, can I tell you, that was the Donovan McNabb.
Yes.
Like Marvin Harrison. That was a really
1996.
Good team. Paul Pasqualoni. That was my sister Elizabeth's first birthday party.
Oof.
I'll never forget that. I'm pretty sure we turned the game off. And we never did. In my house, never turned the game. We turned that game off. We were doing cake and presents.
Don't let the children see this.
Correct. We'll get back to the Northern Communication phone lines. Continue to get those texts and tweets in. We'll get to some of your bad sports memories. You got other stuff to do today, but this feels like where we're going for right now. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in a moment.
It's time for another Solid Orange Clemson Classic replay this Saturday at 10 a.m. Relive the second national championship of the Dabo Swinney era as the Tigers and the Crimson Tide face off in the championship game of the 2019 College Football Playoff. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, Hartwell Village Shopping Center, Burton Properties, Granger Nissan, Priority Run, Krispy Kreme, and Toyota of Easley. 44-16, the Tigers and the Tide. This Clemson Classic game replay Saturday at 10 a.m. on The Roar.
Clemson is all about traditions, and one of the very best is the Tiger Sports Shop. Tiger Sports Shop was founded in 1974 by legendary coach Dr. I.M. Ibrahim, who started the national championship winning men's soccer program at Clemson. So they love Clemson and don't sell any other college apparel. They continue to be locally owned and operated and carry their own Tiger Sports Shop collection branded merchandise, which is quality apparel at a reasonable price. Visit them downtown Clemson and 1102 Tiger Boulevard or at tigersports.com.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business. Offering dine-in service, enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
When you're looking for a new heating or air conditioning system, consider Upstate Service Solutions. They're currently offering a $500 Visa card with the purchase of an American Standard heating and air conditioning system. Subject to credit approval, there's a special financing offer through Wells Fargo. See dealer for details. Upstate Service Solutions, an independent American Standard dealer. Call 423-3606. That's 423-3606. Offer good through May 30th.
Even in these challenging times, Parham Smith and Archinold, a medical malpractice law firm in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charleston, is still accessible during regular business hours. Call and they can arrange video conferencing to assist with your medical malpractice concerns. The health and well-being of your family is paramount, and Parham Smith and Archinold is dedicated to ensuring you're taken care of. Parham Smith and Archinold, call 242-9008. Online at parhamlaw.com. That's parhamlaw.com.
Let's face it, credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I order takeout, use my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you gonna do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. The process is all online. You never have to leave the house. And you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Apply today at lightstream.com/discount and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/discount for an additional discount. lightstream.com/discount.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/discount for more information.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
Recapping the headlines from yesterday and looking at what's coming up today. The Mickey Plyler Show, weekday mornings on The Roar.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
Back here on Out of Bounds, hour number one continues. We are going to keep the discussion going about the worst loss you've seen as a fan in person. I think in person we've talked about how it makes it just a little different and can hurt a little more. So we're going to get back to the phones and the text line in just a second. Out of Bounds today brought to you by Toyota of Easley. Visit them online, toyotaofeasley.com. They're one of the few dealerships in the upstate where you can purchase a car completely online. They're back open. They're business as usual at 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway. But if you feel safer doing business online, or you look outside and you say, oh, it's a monsoon, but I'd rather go online, you can do that as well. That's toyotaofeasley.com. They also have a tire sale going on. Tires for every make and model. Current rebates on all manufacturers and a $50 mail-in rebate. They will be anyone's price. They can install while you wait. Think of them as your perfect pit crew that can save you money. First year, 100% warranty. Second year, 50%. No one offers this but Toyota of Easley. Give them a call, 864-855-2233 and online at toyotaofeasley.com.
Let's go back to the Northland Communication phone lines here. Purple James is up with us next here as we conclude hour one of the program. What's up, Purple James?
What's up, fellas? Hey, before I get started on my biggest disappointment, I just want to say, man, you guys by far, I think, have the best intro of all shows I've ever heard, man. I love it. It's the Mexican version of, you know, when Clemson beat Alabama in the Natty. Not a soccer fan, but they got the coolest Dolan or, you know, Clemson. I love it. No matter how my morning's going, when I listen to that, come on, just let you guys know. It just always makes me smile anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Purple James.
Yeah. No, it's I love it. It never gets old. Anyway, I'm going to have to dig back a little bit, man, back in the 80s. Clemson was ranked, I believe, number 3, and we were playing Florida State. And a lot of these older Clemson fans that were at the game are going to know what I'm talking about. The famous Punteruski. Oh, my goodness, man. The life sucked out of us. It was fourth down. We were ahead. We were getting the ball back, going to win. They had, you know, what the length of the field, 20-yard line, or I can't remember exactly the numbers, but you know, everybody in the stands thinking, man, think of a fake, and boom, it happened. But, you know, it was heartbreaking. That particular game changed how I went to Clemson games for the rest of my life. It was that bad because I'm the cat that goes to the games when we're playing Wofford, Sizzle. You see the idiot in the stands getting excited at 70-0. Well, that's me. You know, the games like that, now it's just hard to go to them because there's always a chance you're going to lose them, and that is just a miserable ride home. Of course, I started feeling better about my worst disappointment when Kelly was talking about the dude that drove to Phoenix and back. That was
tough.
I can't even fathom that. He takes the cake. That's the man right there. He deserves a flag. That's horrible. But anyway, just thought I'd share. That was pretty devastating as a fan.
You know, I'm not going to disagree, Purple James. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. A lot of our memories are a little bit closer to now, but that's one that, in particular, you talk to a little bit older Clemson fans, certainly older than us, that they'll bring up the Punteruski game, particularly given that it was that was a big win. And I think 1989, 87. It was in 88. I'm trying to think that was weird what I was trying to say there. I'm trying to think how many years Clemson didn't beat Florida State. And I think it was maybe 89 that they won. I'd have to go back and look to be sure. I'm sure somebody can fact check me on it. I just don't have it in front of me. But they didn't win again until 03.
I've got that for you. Okay, loss in 88, Clemson won in 89, and then did not win again until 03.
So you felt like, particularly in the 90s, you felt like 88 got away. 89 you won, but you left 88 kind of hanging there with the Punteruski. And then you didn't win in the 90s. They joined the ACC. You didn't beat them ever. Like the first 10 times you didn't beat them.
Yep.
And then you finally did it in 2003.
Neither of us were alive for that Punteruski, but I've seen the replay, and I can only imagine. I can only imagine how brutal that was, especially in Clemson, you know? Like that, that makes it so much worse, in my opinion.
You know that it's a big deal when people who weren't there hear one word and know exactly what game you're talking about, or at least have an image of the play or the time or whatever. Like, you just know. Fifth down. We know the fifth down is.
Yep.
Even though, wasn't there, I was like, one. And the fifth down game, you know what that was? The band is out on the field. I know that's a phrase. Certainly wasn't there, but you know what that's referring to. And Punteruski, I think, is up there with those. Let's go to Paul, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Quonk. Hey, Kelly. I'm going to take a couple years back further.
All right.
Let's go back to 1986, and that was back when I was in Tiger Band. And losses are really hard, but here's the twist. Back in 86, we lost the last – well, we didn't lose the last two home games in Death Valley that year. One was against Maryland, and one was against South Carolina. We tied both of those games back-to-back. How you like them apples?
That's pretty rough. I don't love that. It's hard. It's hard for me to. It's hard for me to put my mind in a place where we're tying, because we just didn't have to. Like, I remember the first. I don't remember any game where I thought there might be a tie, because Clemson just didn't tie when I was a kid. But 1995, I believe, was Raheem Abdullah. It was the first college overtime game, or maybe the first ACC overtime game, where he had interception during Clemson actually beat Duke by 13. So, yeah, there were a lot of games where you probably left with a bad taste in your mouth because there was a tie that don't quite sting like a loss, but it still is unfulfilling. And I'm looking, yeah, last two regular season games, at Maryland, Baltimore, yep. and then South Carolina, you tied and then beat Stanford. But instead of
back-to-back.
That's right. Instead of, you know, 10-2, you were 8-2-2 that year. So that's tough. I get it.
Yep.
All right, Paul. We appreciate it.
It's been interesting trivia for you.
Absolutely. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. You too. Yeah, I just don't think it ties. Like, I don't ever think it ties. But maybe we should in this discussion. Let's go to Slooper, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Slooper?
Hey, Quok, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. So I got one for you. It hadn't been mentioned yet, but when I was growing up, and I'm inching towards 40 here, not quite there, Georgia Tech was a real big thorn in our side, man. And they were great. And there's a couple games between Georgia Tech that I can remember vividly, going to games with my dad and my brother. And the year that Ralph Regan was there, George Godsey and Kerry Watkins.
Yep.
And I can remember the game where last second touchdown pass, Kerry Watkins comes down with it, one-handed catch, back of the end zone. The entire stadium's going, there's no way that he actually caught this thing. No way. It didn't look like he caught it to any of the 83,000 people in attendance. And I was telling myself at the time, there's no way he caught it either. The officials get together, they call it a touchdown, game's over. They end up walking it off. And then that next day, I go look at the picture, and I'll be darned if Kerry Watkins did not have a foot down and have the ball, and that was the right call. Absolutely brutal. That was the toughest one I can remember as a kid. But I'll also say the game where we're up by 10 points against Georgia Tech again, and Calvin Johnson, we have a punt that's, you know, it's a bad snap, and we're up by 10 with like 2 minutes to go, and Calvin Johnson's out there just doing Calvin Johnson thing, and yep. they walk it off on us again because we have nobody that can cover Calvin Johnson. But we never knew at the time that nobody was ever going to cover Calvin Johnson in the game, in pro or college. So that one doesn't sting as bad looking back on it. It was just tough that night the way we lost it. But that's all I got, Quok and Kelly. Thank y'all so much.
All right, thanks very much, Slooper. We appreciate it. Yeah, we talked about the Calvin Johnson one. That was a very vivid memory of Kerry Watkins, and it was a sick guy. We had a joke in our family that whenever Clemson and Georgia Tech played in Memorial Stadium, there literally were like 3 years in a row. 2004 was in there. It might have been 98 was another one, maybe, where there was a catch in the corner, the back corner of the end zone, where Georgia Tech was going to win. That was actually a running joke because it happened so frequently there. Let's go to Alan, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. The 1992 Florida Citrus Bowl. Clemson in California.
Uh-huh.
We drove down, and on the way to the game was clipped by a car and spun through the median like we were at the Daytona 500.
Ooh.
We went to the game the day before the game. It was 90 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. The day of the game, it was 30 degrees and it rained so hard they canceled the halftime show.
Oof.
And Clemson beat like they stole something.
You know, I'm looking at that game. I had forgotten that game was a thing. 37-13, Clemson lost that game. It was only their second loss of the year.
It wasn't that close. it was horrible.
That's right. That's one
quarter, it was over.
That's one where the precursor for you was as bad as the game. What happened before was as bad as the game itself.
Oh yeah, and then, you know, 90 degrees, you're sunburned, and then you don't pack any rain clothes, and it's 30 degrees and pouring.
Oof, that's brutal, Alan. We appreciate you reliving that misery with us. We appreciate the phone call.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks very much. You too. Some of these memories, y'all. This is a bit of a depressing topic, but a lot of people are just, you know, fleshing some things out.
Well, it's good to talk about it, Quad. Get it out there, you know.
I did fact check myself. The 1997 Clemson-Duke game. Clemson won 29-20 in overtime because Raheem Abdullah returned an interception for a touchdown after Clemson had kicked a field goal. That was the first game overtime game in ACC history. The first overtime game in college football history, I believe, was either 95 or 96. It was a bowl game where they actually introduced it for a postseason play, and they ended up having an overtime game and a bowl game. So I don't remember. There might have been two Clemson ties in my entire life. Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Quack, I've talked about how 51-14 in 2013 is awful. Yeah. This is a text from the 203. It says, I was a junior at Clemson in 1993. I was a cheerleader, went down to Doak Campbell for my first trip ever to Florida State. Charlie Ward and company beat us 57-0. It was a beating, sadly, I'll never forget. I did get to meet Emmett Smith that day, who was there to watch his little brother, Emery, running back at Clemson. So that's kind of cool. But 57-0 in Doak Campbell, that sounds terrible.
Yep, and that was a game where Clemson was ranked. Clemson was ranked. They lost by 57. I feel like every now and then I just need to say how thoroughly Florida State dominated Clemson in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
In that 93 game, 57-0, they played again in Doak Campbell when they joined the ACC in 1994. Clemson got shut out there 17-0. That was Tommy West's first full season. In 1995, it was a home game. Clemson lost 45-26. In 1996, they went on the road and lost 34-3, middle of the year. 97, they lost by a touchdown at home. I have no memories of that game. Must have been a fun one. Then they go on the road in 98. They lose 48-0. Then they had Bowden Bowl 1. That was a three-point game. And then, again, we had the best play-action fake ever, 54-7 in 2000. You went to Tallahassee, and you came back basically half of a person. That's what happened. Hour 1 is in the books. More of this plus more nonsense in Hour 2.
Broadcasting live from the Priority 1.